Hello and welcome to listen to this video on how to write a competitive proposal for Marie Spodowska Curie Fellowship. My name is Leena Sivola and I work as research funding advisor here at University of Jyväskylä. On this video, I will shortly go through the background of this call and the fundamentals you should know to address funders' requirements. When we look at the objectives of this call, this is aimed for postdoctoral researchers to advance their careers. Important underlying principle is researcher mobility. So, for example, when you're applying to University of Jyväskylä, you should not have lived in Finland for more than 12 months before the call deadline. Also, intersectoral mobility is very much encouraged in this call. This means that perhaps you have during this fellowship secondments or other mobility, for example, to industry or other non-academic sectors. Individual fellowship is part of the biggest framework program European Union has to fund science. It is called Horizon 2020. And as the name says, this is the last year of this framework program. And the following program will be Horizon Europe, where the Marie Spodowska Curie actions will continue. But if we look briefly now, the Horizon 2020, and we see that it consists of three pillars. And first of all, there are these societal challenges and industrial leadership pillars, pillars three and two. And these are so-called top-down funding. That means that there are ready titles and ready targets for your research you should be able to address. However, now we are talking about this first pillar, excellent science. And excellent science includes European Research Council funding, you have probably heard of ERCs, and then FED, including FED Open and other FED funding. And then we have Marie Curie funding. And all of these fundings are bottom-up. That means that your ideas matter here. Your research ideas will be funded in this pillar one. The overall objective from funders' perspective for this Marie Curie actions is to enhance research training and also enhance the careers and cross-sectoral mobility of researchers, so that after your PhD and after your postdoctoral studies, you would be employed perhaps to industry or third sector, as well as on the academic career. So cross-sectoral mobility is addressed a lot. Then it's all about new skills, new knowledge, innovations, and via the researcher mobility, also knowledge transfer between different countries and sectors. And please go to see this by the European policies listed here, so you can see more details on what are the underlying ideas behind this funding. Marie Curie actions have four different types of funding. There are innovative training networks that are European-wide doctoral training networks. Then there are RISE, Research and Innovation Staff Exchange Program, and CoFund, that is also doctoral programs and fellowship programs. But here we focus on individual fellowships, and note that they are targeted for postdoctoral researchers of any nationality. And here are the Marie Curie calls for this year. And the individual fellowship has opened 8th of April 2020, and the call deadline will be 9th of September this year. There is also an indicative budget for this call. When we think about the key advantages of this program, as I already mentioned, it is bottom-up funding for all domains of research and from your research topics, really. It is open to involvement of industry, small and middle-sized enterprises, and non-academic academic sector at large. Underlying principle, as I already mentioned, is the mobility, cross-border and cross-sector mobility. And funder also wants to consider this as flexible funding. So you can really design the kind of project that suits you best, the best. When we look and take a closer look at the Marie Curie Individual Fellowship, there are two main types. There is this European Fellowship and the Global Fellowship. And under European Fellowship, there are different panels. First of all, most of you will apply in standard European Fellowship. And there are scientific panels under this. So there is more panels under the standard European Fellowship. Beside this, we have pre-integration panel. So if you have worked for years outside the Europe, you might be eligible for pre-integration panel. And there is, for example, this career and restart panel. So if you have worked outside academia or otherwise have been out of working life for some time, you might be eligible to apply in career restart panel. If you're interested on these other than standard European fellowship panels, please contact me and we see if you are eligible. I'm not going into details here. The most common individual fellowship types are the European Fellowship and the Global Fellowship. And the principle of European Fellowship is that you come from European or any country to a European country, in this case to Finland, to University of Jyväskylä. And the Global Fellowship works like that you leave from here, from University of Jyväskylä, and you go outside Europe for 1 to 2 years, and there is mandatory return phase to University of Jyväskylä, and the funding covers the returning year. I will explain the details later. And as I have already mentioned quite a few times, the underlying principles of mobility and your ideas, the bottom of funding, are there. And no nationality, age, or career state restrictions apply into this funding. So in that sense, this is really nice funding. Now, the individual fellowship covers your salary, your travel expenses, and other research costs. It also covers some overhead for the host institution, that is University of Jyväskylä in this case. Most commonly, the standard European fellowship is 1 to 2 years, and the global fellowship is 2 to 3 years. And let's see the cost structure a little bit in detail. So for the individual fellowship, if you look at the table, consists of the costs of research and seconded stuff. So this is your salary that consists of living allowance, mobility allowance, and when you have family, you are also entitled to family allowance. And all these sums are per month. And there are also organizational costs. And the first cost category is research, networking, and training costs. And this covers your traveling expenses, any materials or equipment, small equipment you might need, and other that kind of research expenses. And then there are management and indirect costs, and this part goes to university, and in return you get, of course, your computer and library services and so on. And as I already mentioned, these are per month costs, so they are called unit costs. So the budget is basically calculated based on how many months does your research plan, how many months your research plan is designed to have. And the living allowance will be multiplied with country correction coefficient. Finland is a fairly expensive country, so we have previously had correction factor 120%. But this will be automatically calculated in the A forms in the participant portal where you submit your proposal. So you don't need to worry about your budget. It will be automatically generated when you fill in the forms in the portal. Note that the sums I give here are gross salary. So from these, you need to deduct employer costs, pensions, taxes, and so on. So it will be significantly lower than shown here. But anyway, it is very competitive salary, so I highly recommend to apply this. Then I will briefly go through a Marie Curie individual fellowship objectives, rules, and something about the eligibility. So we have already discussed about the objective, but perhaps our perspective was the funder's perspective. If you now think from the researcher's perspective, the objective is to enhance your skills, really what you need to become better scientists. So what kind of skills you need, and this can happen through research or through training courses or through mentoring, whatever you plan into your research plan. And it also encourages you to use the opportunities to transfer knowledge, not just for yourself, but also for the institute you're working into. And as I already mentioned, the scope is that people of any nationality can apply for the fellowship. So you can be from any country of the world when you come to work to University of Jyväskylä, to Finland. And there is also these mechanisms for reintegrating European researchers. This is the reintegration panel, as I already mentioned. And what Funda expects the impact to be is to strengthen the contact network of the researcher and the host organization, and to catalyze the development of researchers' career. So these are two of the most important points here to remember. Now, when we think about what are the typical activities that your research plan and your training plan should have or could have, first of all, there should be some supervision element. Although this is postdoctoral funding, although you're a postdoctoral researcher, you should have a supervisor, a mentor. You can have some teaching, if, for example, you don't have teaching experience beforehand. But the main point is training through research. So that through the research you are doing, you gain new knowledge, new skills. It can include hands-on training activities to widen your competencies, for example, multi or interdisciplinary expertise, intersectoral expertise, or transferable skills such as project management. Remember that your objectives should be realistic and well-defined. And your proposal should include a career development plan. I will talk in detail about this later on. It is also new for this call that you can work as part-time. You can work part-time for personal reasons or if you have other employment. If you're interested in this, please contact me. Now, if we look at the organizations that participate on this, so the funder divides them into two types. There are academic organizations and there are business and non-academic organizations. Academic organizations are, of course, universities, non-profit research institutes or other research institutes, and business and non-academia includes industry, small and middle-sized enterprises, and, for example, NGOs and other third sector actors. Then, if you consider who is eligible to apply for this, as I already mentioned, there is no age limitations, no academic age, no biological age. And you can be from any country, any nationality. Nationality is okay. You should have PhD or at least 4 years of research experience. Now, if you don't have PhD and you are applying, I will have to ask you to contact me again so we check in detail that you are eligible to apply so that we know how to calculate this 4 years of research experience. There are certain criteria to it. And for the European Fellowship, University of Jyväskylä will be your host institute. And for the Global Fellowship as well, University of Jyväskylä will be your host institute. And you will have a partner institute in a third country. And now you are asking, what is the third country? Let me explain that. So we have European member states, 28 of them still. And then we have associate countries, and I have a list of associate countries here. And we expect that as Brexit happens, Britain will be also associated country. The third country is any other. So non-member or non-associated countries, something else. So for those of you who are planning for Global Fellowship, if you're planning to go for a Global Fellowship to Norway, it's not okay because Norway is associated country. But if you're planning to go to Australia, yes, that's okay. Australia is not member or associate country. Now, mobility is also eligibility criteria. So when you come and you apply individual fellowship to work at the University of Jyväskylä, you certainly have lived in Finland for more than 12 months before the call deadline, that is 9th of September 2020. However, if you have recently moved to Finland or in Jyväskylä and you have lived here under 12 months before the call deadline, you are still eligible to apply. And for the other panels, there are a little bit different mobility and eligibility criteria. And also for those, please contact me. For the Global Fellowship, the eligibility or the mobility rule applies to the third country where you are going. You should not have lived in that country where you are going for more than 12 months within the last three years. And the mobility rule does not apply to Finland, where your host organization, that is University of Jyväskylä, is. And within the Global Fellowship, you need from your partner organization, the organization that is in the third country, you need a letter of commitments. For the Standard Fellowship, you don't need any letters of commitment. This is only for the Global Fellowship. Now, let's go a little bit into terminology of this call. In this call, there are something called secondments. And secondment, well, it is not short visit or field work. Then, of course, the question is, what is short? I would say that short is at least everything that is under 1 month. So secondment is something at least 1 month, maybe two, three, four, even half a year. That's actually the maximum. And secondment is visit to another organization to enhance your career, your skills, your research. It can be within Finland, from University of Jyväskylä to another university, to another research institute, or to industry or small middle-sized enterprises. And you can split it to shorter periods, so you can have more than one secondment. You can have, for example, 2 months and then again 2 months. They can be into the same place or different place. Note that the secondments are not mandatory. So design only meaningful secondments. The kind of secondments that actually add value to your proposal. If you don't find meaningful way to include secondment in your proposal, then leave it out. It's optional. Still one more time, I try to clarify you the role of participating organizations and countries. When we look at the European Fellowship, you only have one mandatory country, one obligatory country. That is where the beneficiary or the host organization, in this case, University of Jyväskylä, is located. So you only need one country. You can have segregation into another country, but that's your option. For the global fellowship, you have a obligatory host organization or beneficiary at University of Jyväskylä here in Finland. You also have mandatory partner organization in third country, and you should have commitment letter from them. Optionally, you can have other partner organizations, and those you can have in within European Union or in the associated countries. Then I have some overall considerations for your proposal. Don't underestimate the gender aspect. It is cross-cutting priority in Horizon 2020. So whenever appropriate, remember to consider gender dimension. It can be in your research, when you think about your research plan, for example, what kind of sample you have, what kind of end users you have. But it can also be related to this project, the management of the project and the activities you have under this project. It can even be supervisors or you name it, but consider the gender aspect seriously. Then there are ethical and research integrity issues. When you fill in the part A, there is self-assessment for the ethical issues. Please remember to tick all those boxes that are involved in your research. And then in the section 6, part B2, remember to explain how these issues are handled in your proposal. This is not assessment criteria. This is not evaluated. But anyway, this increases transparency of your proposal and shows that you are professional, that you have this problem done. If you need any help with research integrity issues, we have a wonderful expert in our team, Raija Oikari, who will help you. So just contact me or this email address here to get help with the research integrity issues. Read also the ethics self-assessment guidelines.